You're listening to the Locked On Nuggets podcast, your daily podcast on the Denver Nuggets. Now, here is your host from DenverStiffs.com, Adam Mottes.
The sad music, because this is a sad moment for the Nuggets. Crushing loss, soul-crushing loss to the Lakers tonight. Big game. You know, all the trash talk, all the antics leading into it. You knew this was a big one. You knew the stakes couldn't have been higher for the Nuggets. But unfortunately, they just did not do nearly enough to get this win. They fall to the Lakers 112-103. They move into sole possession of 10th place, two spots now out of the playoffs. And, you know, it's like the old Bob Dylan lyric, it's not dark yet, but it's getting there. It feels like the Nuggets are now on the precipice of another season in which they just completely fail to meet their expectations, and I'm going to get into a lot of that stuff at the end. But this episode, if you're new to the show, I'm going to share my notes, not recap the game, but share my notes on what I think the big takeaways are from this game. And I think there are a couple important ones, including some big picture stuff. And then also just some of the little minutiae that I really kind of geek out on with basketball. I always like to kind of look at sort of the X and O's, got some X's and O's stuff to talk about. But before I get into any of that, I want to tell you about our sponsor for today's show, which is mybookie.ag. You guys probably don't know this. I only gamble on sports once a year. Personally, I'm not a big like sports gambler, but once a year, and that's March Madness. I go all out for March Madness. I got the 4 TV set up in my basement. I got all the chairs and couches and everything set up to make it a party. And so I'm going to be betting, and I'm going to be using mybookie.ag. If you haven't checked them out, this is the perfect time to get in on the action because, as I mentioned, March Madness is here. And you can lay down all arrangements of money. You could put down a little bit of money on each game, just make it fun, have some skin in the game, which is what I like to do. I'm not a big-time gambler, but I put a little bit on each game so I have some kind of rooting interest. Bet on the spread so that, you know, you're always into it. Or if you want to bet big, if you're a pro and you do this for a living or as kind of a supplemental income type thing, use mybookie.ag. Thousands of players online using the site. And the thing that's different about them is if you've ever bet online, you know it can be a real nightmare trying to get a payout. You get the runaround when you try to get the payout. Well, with them, there's no antics. You got fast payouts, the fastest payouts, I believe, of all of your major outlets for gambling. You want to cash out. A couple days later, you get your check in the mail. With no hassle. So you're not wasting your time. They've even got live in-game betting. So if you're watching a game and you just get a sense like, okay, you know, so-and-so is about to make a run here. Kentucky's about to make a run. I could feel it. You can live make a bet in-game, and it just makes it a lot more fun. So join it now. They'll match your first deposit with a 50% bonus. So you put $100 in there, they'll match you with $50. And you can even enter for a chance to win their $1 million bracket challenge. So if you want to fill out a bracket and you want to go somewhere that supports the show and also you can win $1 million, go there. LOMBA is going to be your promo code, LOMBA, to activate that offer. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, let's move on to the game. One of the first takeaways I have is that Millsap really is struggling with his left hand. It's very clear. There was two moments in particular. He had a nice drive, left-handed drive to the basket, scoop shot that he makes, I think, with a healthy hand. It's like a very, very easy play. He missed it. Then he had another play where he went up strong and like lost the ball. It was one of those plays where it was like an automatic bucket. Millsap loses the ball, and the ball goes over the backboard. Then defensively, there was a couple times where he was in position to make a play with his left hand and just wasn't able to. So I think with Paul, you know, I think it's pretty clear that he's not 100%, and he's out there playing really well. He did a lot of good things, but I think that left hand can kind of become a limiting thing for him, especially in one-on-one defense and in one-on-one scoring. Jamal Murray opened the game. Obviously, the story coming into this was Jamal Murray, and the crowd gave him the boo treatment, booing him every time he touched the ball. He had a flurry in the first that made me think, okay, he's going off. He had 8 points in the first quarter, I think like 8 in a row, and some tough shots, and he just had that look in his eye. I thought, okay, this is a game Murray is going to step up and walk the walk. But unfortunately, an even bigger storyline in the early part of the game was Jokic picking up two silly fouls. I thought the first one was a tough break. You know, they didn't show a replay, so I didn't see it. Maybe he actually got him. But the second one was just a stupid foul. The second and third one, just silly fouls by Jokic. Now, Caldwell Pope embellished it a little bit. You know, Jokic does the handoff and kind of sticks his butt out there. Pope acts like he got hit by a sledgehammer, but it's a legit foul call. Jokic did hit him. He did knock him off balance. He did create an advantage with that handoff, and Jokic had to go to the bench, and this was the game. You know, I know that a lot of other stuff happened, but the Nuggets, unfortunately, just have not been good enough all year. One of the things about them, I think, this whole season is, you know, I talked last week or last show about the continuity the Nuggets were developing, and I think that was a big important thing, was like, okay, everybody kind of knew where your minutes were supposed to come. Jokic picking up those two fouls completely changed Malone's rotation, completely changed everybody's rhythm, and I thought a lot of people, not just, you know, obviously Jokic going out is always a bad thing because he's always a positive, but I thought it was everybody, even Barton's minutes behind him, you know, Wilson Chandler's minutes behind it, everybody kind of just gets a little bit out of whack because now you have to adjust for that. So I thought that was really big. And Jokic being a cornerstone player, part of being a cornerstone player is not picking up fouls like that. He does a lot of these things, by the way. He does a lot of these where he's trying to draw a foul out of nothing, right? It's not like driving to the basket, you try to create contact and you go up or whatever and get the contact. It's off ball, silly thing, rebounds, he'll stick his arm into somebody's armpit and then kind of jump up so the guy grabs him and fouls him. And when it works, great. He's done a great job of getting foul calls and selling foul calls and drawing fouls this season. That's one of the areas he's improved the most. But I think situationally you have to understand, and when he picked up that first foul, going for things like that again in a second foul or pushing the limits, you just have to be smarter than that because he's too important to this team. He's the team's best player, by far the most important player. And so just kind of some situational awareness about when to kind of do that stuff and when not to, I think, is something he can grow on. Will Barton picked a really bad night to have his worst game of the year, and this was just a really, really, really off night by him. I thought he looked sick, to quite frankly. Like, he looked a bit slow offensively, and he just looked – he didn't – the shots he was missing didn't look like Barton shots. And what I mean by that isn't that he was taking weird shots, although he did do that as well, but, like, he just was shooting them weird. His whole rhythm, I thought, on the offensive end was really, really off tonight, and he started, I think, like 1 of 8 or 1 of 9. He made a really silly foul at the end of the first quarter where he fouled Isaiah Thomas at half court with 5 seconds left on the clock. I thought Denver, you know, they really gave up a huge lead as soon as Jokic went out. They were down, I think, 1 point when he went out. They finished the quarter down 13 or so. So it was a huge run in the final several minutes, but they had a nice defensive possession. You think, okay, they're building some momentum. Ball gets tipped out to half court. Isaiah Thomas goes and chases it. There's 5 seconds on the shot clock. Just play solid defense and force a bad shot. Barton inexplicably goes out and gives a foul, like holding onto Isaiah Thomas at half court. So they get the ball reset with 14 seconds. They throw up. Denver gets another good defensive stand in that 14 seconds, but they don't secure the rebound. Again, I think it was Barton actually leaking out. They get the ball, and then Wilson Chandler gives an intentional foul and puts him on the line. So those back-to-back fouls and not securing the rebound, those were just like Denver was grasping at straws at the end of that first quarter. The Lakers had all momentum. They were in a groove, and it was like you just need to get a stop and a bucket to kind of stop the bleeding. And not, they got two stops, but they got two fouls to end those stops. And it was absolutely killer, not heads-up type plays, and that just really killed you. I thought the second quarter defense was awesome. So one of the things is, you know, Jokic picks up a second foul. Now you're going to go to more of your defensive-minded lineups. And I thought the second quarter defense was some of the best that we'd seen all year. The Lakers scored just 13 points in that second quarter. So think about this. They score 112 points in the game, and they score 13 in the second quarter. That's 35 in the first, 35 in the fourth. But that second quarter, there were some really great minutes. Now, the Lakers went inexplicably cold in the second to start. I thought Denver's defense in the start of the second quarter actually was not that great, but the Lakers helped them out by missing everything they put up. But, you know, after a while, they got into a groove, Denver did, defensively, and I thought had some really, really strong possessions. Jokic, of course, comes back in, then picks up his third foul on almost the exact same thing, kind of throwing his body into somebody on it, trying to get an advantage. Now, the third quarter was completely different. Now, the third quarter, the Nuggets scored 35, and they outscored the Lakers by 6. It actually should have been a whole heck of a lot more, but it weren't for the end of the third quarter. But I thought the Nuggets did a good job of kind of getting into their groove offensively. One of the things about this game is I didn't think Denver looked at any point in this game other than for moments of that third quarter. I didn't think Denver looked like themselves. Now, a lot of that is because Jokic was in foul trouble in that first half. So in the second half, it's no coincidence that he comes in and they kind of get going and the ball's popping and all that stuff. But in the first half, I didn't think at any point Wilson Chandler made some heroic shots, some big-time shots to keep him in it, as did Jamal Murray. But other than that, it just didn't look like the flow of the offense was there. In the third quarter, it did. And they really started to put some separation between them and the Lakers. And this is where, if you've watched the Nuggets all year and you're a diehard fan, you know this to be true. The Nuggets have done this all year. They get a lead of like 10, 12, 15 points, and then they'll immediately take their foot off of the gas. What I thought... two moments kind of stick out to me. One was a 4-point swing where the Lakers score. Jokic takes the ball out of bounds and inbounds it to Lonzo Ball, who immediately scores again. That was like they go from up 10 to up 6, which 10 points, you're looking at, okay, a stop, and you go, you're really extending the lead and starting to put pressure on. It was one of those moments where the Lakers almost certainly call another timeout. Instead, it closes to 6, and now the Nuggets take a timeout because they have to, because the focus was completely gone. So that play, I thought, really, really stood out, and that was 100% on Jokic. Just got lazy and lost focus. The Nuggets had 2 3-on-2 fast breaks in this game. I think both in the third quarter, one in the third, one in the fourth. And in both situations, they ended up dribbling the ball out and taking a 3-pointer. Missed both times. And, you know, a 3-pointer on the break, this is modern fundamentals, right? This is new fundamentals. It's not always bad to take a 3-pointer on a 3-on-2. There's situations that it's okay. The one Jamal Murray took, I thought, was not the right situation. They could have been aggressive. They weren't. He dribbles out and shoots what I think he even knew leaving his hand was a bad shot. And those plays are just killer, absolutely killer, because fast break buckets more than anything lead to timeouts from coaches, right? Like, coaches just don't like to give those up. But you get a stop, they almost always – a fast break miss almost always leads to a fast break bucket the other way, and that's exactly what happened. Also, I thought Luke Walton did a really great job with his rotation tonight. He mixed it up by going small with Julius Randle at center against the second unit. So he did it to close the third quarter and open the fourth, and then he did it again to close the game. He kind of played him for the majority of that second half in those moments, and I thought it was smart. Part of why Denver went on the run in the third quarter was because he was not in the game, you know, against the starters. Also, the starters started rolling. But part of why they went on a run in that second, I believe, is because the Lakers saw the flow of the game in the last one and thought, you know what? They like to close with two bigs. They like to play Plumlee and Lyles together at the end of the third. So we're going to put Randle there and make Plumlee guard Randle. And Randle, by the way, he's a handful. Millsap struggled against him in that first quarter. And he's just Randle's been lighting everybody on fire. But I think it's especially not the type of player that Plumlee is good at guarding. You know, it takes him out of like being a help side defender because he's actually going to be an on-ball defender. But then Plumlee, strong, but so is Randle. Quick, but Randle much quicker and explosive. And he had the one drive power dunk, you know, that just looked like he was not bothered at all by Plumlee. So I thought it was a great adjustment by Luke Walton, and the Nuggets really didn't have an answer for it in that moment, and they didn't have another answer for it in the end. What I think would have been maybe better to see, and again, hindsight's 20/20. This isn't something I was thinking in real time. But, you know, I would like to have seen Millsap at center. And Malone has been so reluctant to do that all season. It seems like that's not one of the options he wants. But with Julius Randle as a power forward, whether Millsap's guarding Randle at the four or at the five, it's the same thing. And right there, I think you could have just maybe gone to that right then and tried to stop the bleeding matching up there. But unfortunately, that's not what happened. And again, I don't put that on Malone because I didn't even think of it in real time. But that's what happened. And then just in the fourth quarter, when the starters did come back in, usually Denver's able to kind of weather the storm. Now, when I say weather the storm, the Nuggets go from up like 12 to down 1 or down 2 or something like that in the 6-minute span where the bench was on and they were getting killed. Denver's starters come in and have a hard time kind of stopping the bleeding. They get down by, I think, 6. But then they cut it all the way back and they're back in the game. But as is the case, and this is where the Nuggets, you know, have an Achilles heel that no matter how great they are for, you know, 40 minutes, There's an 8-minute stretch at the end of games where teams have realized you put them in a spread pick and roll, and Denver just is not capable of stopping the spread pick and roll. Now, it should be noted, this is actually what they did at the end of the third quarter, and it was Mason Plumlee who was in there who was giving up a lot of these. Again, Julius Randle would just catch the ball on the short roll, then attack Plumlee. In the fourth quarter, I actually thought Jokic did a good job when he got switched out onto Isaiah Thomas. It's funny because when I, you know, the big play and then you kind of see social media going up, I'm thinking, okay, well, he got cooked here. Go back and watch it, and actually they only got scored on twice in the pick and roll. Three if you count one where Randle scored on the drop-off. Jokic went out to hedge. Randle gets the drop-off, and Wilson Chandler contests but isn't able to stop him. The other two, one, he contains Isaiah Thomas. Isaiah Thomas puts up the shot. I think it's like an air ball, but nobody rebounds. And then the ball kind of bounces once. Isaiah Thomas goes and gets the rebound, and then he ends up hitting like a fall away. So technically, I don't know if you can count that one. And then, of course, there was the famous one where he crossed him up, looked back at him, and smiled. So it actually wasn't – I don't think it was on, you know, Jokic in the pick and roll in that in those specific plays to end the game. But Denver just couldn't get the stop anywhere in that, and a lot of the plays were, you know, Millsap rotates to stunt or to tag the roller, and then he's guarding Kyle Kuzma, who, you know, it's weird. I don't know if the scouting report clearly is that Kuzma is a shooter, and he got like two or three just wide open looks there in that fourth quarter that were just killer, absolutely killer. Because like I said, Denver was starting to chip away, but when you make knock down two or three threes, it's too hard to overcome that. So Denver gets the loss, and, you know, kind of gets a loss in a way where their offense never quite looked like itself other than for a short minutes, and they lose the same way they always have in the fourth quarter with that spread pick and roll. So now to end this one, you know, I want to look at the big picture here and the big picture takeaway, because this puts Denver, you know, 538, who does projections for playoffs, this puts Denver at a, I don't know, 32% chance of making the playoffs. I put on Twitter that my own internal calculation was somewhere around 35. And even that might be generous, quite frankly. I think Denver, in order to win, either needs to go 11-3. I think there's 14 games left. 11-3 or 10-4 down the stretch. They have one home game before going on the road for seven straight. They play a ton of playoff teams coming up. It's just so unlikely, I think, at this point. If they won tonight, I think it would have been a coin flip. Losing tonight and having all the other teams in the West win, I think Denver, again, it's not dark yet, but it's getting there. Their backs are really against the wall. After the game, BSN Denver reported that Nikola Jokic in the locker room said, you know, it's not over yet. We still think we have this, but I'm significantly less optimistic. I don't think that Denver is in a position now to where they I don't think that they can string along enough wins and enough consistency to get it done. This was a game that, you know, all of the stakes, everything was laid out on the table, and they weren't able to perform, and not only not able to perform, but not able to defend the way that we've talked about all season. And their offense, since Millsap has returned, just hasn't looked consistently good. There's been moments. I know they're capable of it, but there have just been moments. And now you have to face the harsh reality as Denver approaches here of the fact that this team, as excited as we've been, myself included, as talented as they are, they are a team that for 2 years in a row has not closed the gap. And 37 wins, you know, say they go on to win seven more, which is probably would be somewhere around par for the course. They get 44 wins. That's a slight improvement. But the harsh truth is that this team and this young core has just not made the next step the way that I think a lot of people expected and hoped. And you can say, you know, I have my reasons after the season. I'm going to wait till the goose is cooked before I give my full review. But you can say coaching, player development, lineup combination, whatever. But whatever the reason is, this young Lakers team is just like Denver. They've got some young pieces that are exciting. They've got some veterans there to kind of fill in the gaps. And they look like a better team than Denver, or at least as good of a team as Denver. And you know, nobody's really raving about them and their potential. So unfortunately, the tough pill to swallow is that this Nuggets team came into the season thinking, and we all kind of bought into the idea that they were the next big thing. But taking that leap is so hard. I still believe they're so talented, but they haven't made that leap yet. Maybe they'll make it here in this last month of the season. But as I mentioned, their backs are against the wall, and it's just not looking like it right now. I think one of the things that we talked about the last two games was, you know, Denver had a solid offensive performance, not a great one, but a solid offensive performance where they looked like them their old selves at parts two games ago against the Lakers. Then they played the Kings, which is the Kings. It's hard to get any kind of read on. Two games could be a coincidence. Three games, I think, is a trend. And tonight, I just, as much as their offense performed well and put up 103 points, it just didn't look like themselves. It didn't look like that optimized version of themselves that we've gotten used to. The ball wasn't popping, and it wasn't moving like we expected it to. So now, I think as a fan and even as an analyst, you kind of have to look at the team and think, is it realistic to expect them to get there, you know, over this last 14 games, enough for them to win enough? And I just don't know. So we'll find out. It's a bummer of a downer one, guys, but the harsh reality is that the Nuggets made this game a pressured-filled game, whether to psych themselves up or for whatever reason. But unfortunately, they were not able to back it up in this one, and it's kind of a good representation of the entire season. They came in with a lot of promise and all this hope, but now they find themselves behind even teams like the Clippers, who are neither in a rebuild nor in with all their chips in. We'll have another episode tomorrow, guys, and then I think probably nothing on Thursday and Friday, but yeah, we'll see. Maybe we'll do a weekend summit, but we will have one episode tomorrow to kind of wrap things up. Thanks for tuning in. I'll be back again.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Nuggets podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and visit us on the web at denverstiffs.com.